Good morning, church. I don't think there's ever been a week where this has been at my height. That's okay. All right, so our first reading this morning is from the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy. And we'll be going through verses 1 to 9. Listen, O heavens, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching fall like rain, and my words descend like dew, like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is he. They have acted corruptly toward him. To their shame, they are no longer his children, but a warped and crooked generation. Is this the way you repay the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is he not your father, your creator, who made you and formed you? Remember the days of old. Consider the generations long past. Ask your father, and he will tell you, your elders, and they will explain to you, when the Most High gave the nations their inheritance. When he divided all mankind, he set up boundaries for the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob his allotted inheritance.
All those yummy cupcakes there. Fantastic. There's four that pertain to me. Obviously the day I was born, the day my wife was born, the day I joined the church in 73, the year I got married, the year after. You notice I didn't say the year my wife joined the church. She's been here all her life. Right, the reading is Romans 11. Verses 33 to 36, it's the doxology. Oh, the depth of riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out! Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all the things. To him be the glory forever. Amen.
Some of the most poignant entries in our records from session and from managers from the establishment of our church in 1915, 16 and 17 and on through time of war. And the people who were establishing our church were very, very aware of this. It was a part of their daily lives, the sense of wondering what was happening in the world, and particularly what was happening to their sons, their nephews, their daughters who were serving overseas. And in a sense, the church was birthed in the darkest nights, in the stormy gale. And throughout that time, God of our yesterdays was there. God here today. God who we put our trust in the future. And so I have asked Avi to sing to us a song that picks up on those themes of the struggle that church goes through, but also the presence of God through those times. Over recent months, I've been dipping into the records of session and managers, and it makes interesting readings. I think a very significant decision that was made when our church was opened in 1917 was not to charge rental for the pews. At that time, pew rental was very common, and at that time, it used to be charged 10 shillings per annum. But our church managers wanted to do something different. And they wrote to the congregation saying, "Your managers, in making this decision, felt confident that they could rely on the financial assistance of members and friends to carry out the much desired object of making the gospel free to all. The desire in their hearts, making the gospel free to all. And then in a slightly different note, from the 1950s, we read, it was considered, if possible, the church as a whole should support suitable action to provide entertainment on Sunday evenings for those otherwise without helpful manner of passing the time. So there was a desire to help with the community. So in August in 1951, they screened a film on Sunday night, God and the Atom. A lot of good things happened in the life of the church, and you read through and you pick up on that. But there were also some struggles. Again, in March 1951, it's noted the weekly prayer meetings were poorly attended. So they changed the prayer meetings to Sundays following the evening service. I haven't yet come across a record to see whether that helped things. We don't look at those 100 years with rose-coloured glasses. Realistically, when we look at the life of the church, we find real people in real situations trying to make the best decisions they could, sometimes with good result, sometimes not with the result that they would have wanted. But we see these people in prayer, their faith being stretched, and there's evidence of care for the wider community. A few years ago, I went and saw the Bayeux Tapestry, and it tells the story of the Norman conquest leading up to the Battle of Hastings in 1066. I had expected a big, grand tapestry. I didn't know what I was going to look at, but it's actually only about that wide. But it's 70 meters long. And so you walk along the glass panel and you can see all the figures and the story unfolds as you walk along. And I wonder if a tapestry was made of Grey Friars history. We don't have a tapestry today, we have cupcakes. But if a tapestry was made of each of the years, I wonder what common threads would be woven through. They would be recognized from generation to generation. Or if a ballad had been written to tell the story of the church, what would be the chorus, the common refrain that would come from generation to generation? Or if a mural was to be painted to tell our story, what sort of palette would be used? Which shades and colors and textures would our eyes be drawn to and that we would see as common themes? Now, I'm sure that you could very easily pick up on many of the themes that have been present throughout the time of our church. Love, redemption, salvation, and grace. And any of these would be suitable things for us to think about on a day such as this. But today I simply want us to focus on the greatness of God. In recent weeks as a church, we've been looking at themes in Deuteronomy, and Moses has encouraged the people of Israel. They're on the brink of the promised land, on the edge of things, ready to step in, and he's wanting to encourage them, to give them heart, to help them as they step into that land. And so we look back and we picked up on some of the themes, the theme of love. And we see this in Exodus and Miriam's song, where she sings of the Lord's unfailing love. And then in Deuteronomy, it's picked up in the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And so we see in the Old Testament this theme of love woven through. And we looked at the grace of God, who looked at a people who had no merit of their own, and yet who set them aside and called them holy unto the Lord, a chosen people, a people that he wanted to walk with him. And then we also looked at the heart plea of God. Hear, are blessings. Here are curses. Here is life. Here is death. And God's heart plea, choose life. Choose life. And every provision was given, every opportunity to make this life-giving choice. And now we come towards the end of Deuteronomy, towards the end of the Pentateuch. And here is the glorious song of Moses. And he says in that song, I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. I grew up reading the revised version, which says, ascribe greatness to our God. And this is what Moses was doing and wanting the people of Israel to do. Ascribe greatness to God. Proclaim God's goodness, God's greatness. And Moses had lots of reason to do this. And we know so much of Moses' life. We know as a child how there was a threat to his life. And he was found among the bulrushes and taken to the palace of Pharaoh and given a princely education. And how he was to grow into a young man. And as he did so, to witness with dismay in his heart the treatment of his people in slavery. And we read of his failed attempt to try and put things right, which ended up with him killing a person and then having to run for his life. And then Moses himself in the desert and looking after flocks, plenty of time to sit and ponder what had happened, plenty of time to question God, and then the burning bush, the encounter with God, Moses receiving a mission, being sent with things to do for God. And many of us are familiar with his story, the challenge to Pharaoh with the words, let my people go. And the resulting showdown with the Pharaoh, with the great plagues. And Moses lived through all of this, through the Passover, crossing the Red Sea. He saw the fire and the cloud as God used these to guide people through the desert. He witnessed the glory of God on Mount Sinai as he received the Ten Commandments. With his ears, he heard the clamor of rebellion in the camp, the songs of people worshiping the golden calf. And he stood with his feet on the verge of the promised land, almost close enough to touch it, when people shrank back with fear and refused to enter. Moses had found God to be his rock, unshakable, strong, permanent, secure. And he acknowledged the perfection of God's works, the justice of God's ways. And he had experienced the faithfulness of God at so many points in his life. From the burning bush to the verge of the promised land, corporately with the people and privately, he had experienced God's presence and he was convinced of God's greatness. And with all this in mind, with all he knew of God, with all he had experienced of God, he calls on heaven and earth as witnesses. Listen, listen, I will proclaim the greatness of our God. And this is the song of Moses. One commentator called it Israel's national anthem. Moses had so much to proclaim about the greatness of God. But what will we proclaim about God's greatness? There is so much we could say. God is our great creator. The psalm that we heard calling us to worship reminds us, it is he who has made us, we are his. And creation speaks in so many ways of the wonders of God. Looking at the microscopic through lenses to see the basic things of life, the small things, the DNA, the complexity, the amazing design, or looking out at the vastness and wonder of space. Some of you will be aware that Just this week past, astronomers had come from around the world to New Zealand because there was a small window in which they could look at Pluto and a star would go behind it and they would be able to see something of Pluto's atmosphere. There's just so many wonders in space. The stars, the planets, the wonders of the sky remind us of the greatness of our Creator. And also we think of the greatness of God's character. Again, Psalm 100 reminds us, "For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever." Our Heavenly Father is good. God is love. There is so much to say about this. His justice, His light, His holiness, His righteousness, His mercy, His peace. And then when we look at the person of Jesus Christ, and we see in Jesus the character of God, such great compassion for those in need, standing alongside the poor, going to the outcast that no one else would speak to or touch. God's character and attributes are exceptional, wholesome, above reproach. Jesus, the greatest character in history, revealed to us the great character of God. And God is also our great Redeemer. God's greatness revealed through salvation. The writer of Hebrews calls this a great salvation. This salvation that was first announced by the Lord was confirmed to us by those who heard Him. God also testified to it by signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts that the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. And so we see in the life, in the death, in the resurrection, in the ascension of Jesus, a great salvation. Jesus, the one who can truly forgive sin, whose arm is strong enough to conquer death, who can give eternal life to those who call upon His name. This is salvation, full salvation, free salvation, given to those who will respond to God. This is adoption into God's family, to be His children. This is the certain hope of eternity in the presence of God. And God is also our great sustainer. Not only does God redeem us, He provides for us every spiritual blessing in Christ. And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit to indwell us, to supply us with spiritual gifts and enable us to have spiritual fruit grow within us. Through His Spirit, He gives us direction and purpose in life. And by His Spirit, He works out the process of sanctification so we can become more and more like Jesus, more and more holy as His people. And He gives us this wonderfully great gift of belonging to His family, brothers and sisters in the faith. He unites us as one and allows us to work together in the extension of His kingdom. He lets us take part in His good work. And we have the privilege of expressing His love and revealing His truth and offering His grace to others. And all the time as we do this, sustained by His Holy Spirit and knowing that Christ is with us always. Now, when you think about it, you might have a few more greats to add to that list. And I'd be glad to hear them because there's so much to proclaim about the greatness of God our Father, Son and Holy Spirit. I think proclaiming the greatness of God has been a common theme throughout the history of Mount Eden, throughout the history of Greyfriars Church here. This is something that if you look at the minutes at the very beginning of the church, that you would see. If you were here at that first service on the 4th of July in 1915, you would have heard people proclaiming the greatness of God. If you had attended during the hardships of the Great Depression or any decade in that time, you would hear people proclaiming the greatness of God. People in heart and in home, inspired to sacrificial giving by who God is and what God has done, what God means to them. and then being moved to such dedicated service. And they had trust in the greatness of God. And this, they trusted in God then for their salvation. And because of this trust, people were sent to the mission field. And the greatness of God continually resounds and resounds from His people in this place. And I'm sure that there are many times when worshiping together in this place, we have ascribed greatness to God. And you have done this because you have sensed something within your own heart. And you have sensed it in the people around you. And known that God is present. And that God is great. And that God is with you. And many of us will have felt our hearts sore when we heard the reading this morning. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of God? Who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And our hearts just lift to praise God because of His goodness, His greatness, the wonder of who He is. And there are many reasons. Many, many reasons to proclaim God's greatness, God's glory. It's simply stating the truth. There's an integrity about it when we say how great God is, because it is so true. God fully deserves such praise. It's also fitting that the creation should recognize the greatness of the Creator. When we proclaim the greatness of God, we're joining with the songs of heaven. And you may think of other reasons to proclaim God's glory. You will have some personal reasons to proclaim God's glory. But the reason that I really want us to dwell on at the moment is that remembering God's greatness, thinking about God's greatness, puts life in perspective. To glorify God is a reality check that gives us a new perspective on life. When the people of Israel were about to enter the promised land, that was something that would take faith and strength and courage. Was something that they couldn't simply achieve on their own. If they trusted in their own strength, they would not get far at all. And Moses knew this. And Moses knew, and they know their parents had turned back once already. To enter into the land, they needed a reality check, not just to look at who they were, but to know the greatness of God. They needed to grasp it once again. God doesn't have such a fragile ego that He needs us to tell Him how great He is. Proclaiming the greatness of God does more for us than it does for God. When we proclaim the greatness of God, we begin to see things differently. Our perspective changes when we recognize and confess God's greatness. I think part of the human problem in our day and age is that rather than proclaiming the greatness of God, people in our world belittle God, have a rising confidence in the greatness of humanity, and belittle God. Given time and resources, they think humanity can solve any problem, discover any answer, build any project, reach any goal. We proclaim the greatness of science and economics, proclaim the greatness of democracy and the free market. On the radio the other day, I heard a patron of the arts say that in New Zealand, we have two gods. Neither of them were the God that we're thinking of today. The God of art and the God of science, she said, and one has ascendancy over the other. In that context, our God didn't merit a mention. And with the rise of militant atheism, God is mocked, while devotion is given elsewhere. Where God is belittled, perspective is lost, and society becomes set spiritually adrift. Well, what difference does this make to us today? In our centennial, we have not come to proclaim the greatness of Greyfriars. We have come to proclaim the greatness of God. But I think it's hard not to be affected by the modern thinking, the belittling of God, the God getting smaller and smaller. And this can be dispiriting. And added to what we hear around us, we face challenges in this church. The issues of our buildings. How we would have loved to hold this service in the church building up the hill. And to worship where previous generations have worshipped in praise to God. But we have challenges there. Challenges with the building, with resource consent, with heritage issues. All sorts of things for us to find a way through. And a greater challenge, how to share the gospel today. How to share the gospel with the people of our community. To build bridges, to connect us with them and them with us. And to meet such great challenges, we need a great a perspective of a great God. Of knowing that we serve a God who is greater than all these things that may seem so big to us. I don't mean by that that we just get pumped up. As if a boost in our spiritual energy will somehow get us over the line. I mean we need to see spiritual reality. Things as they really are. To take a good long look at God and see who God really is. We need to try and take in the vastness of God's creative power and the fullness of His amazing character. And we need to view our lives and circumstances from the perspective of His kingdom, His greatness. And when we understand the greatness of God more fully, then we will find the faith to step out, faith to step up. Awareness of God's greatness will raise great expectations among us. It will inspire great ideas. It will enable us to lift our eyes to a great vision. It will help us to discover great spiritual resources. It will motivate us to engage in great challenges. As we glimpse the reality of God's greatness, we will find faith within us to echo the words of Paul, if God is for us, then who can be against us? Today we begin a new century in the life of this church in Mount Eden. Today is a new day for us. Today, through us, God begins to write the next chapter in Greyfriars' story. At such a time for the people of Israel, when they were about to enter the promised land, Moses recited a song to them. What will our song be? What will we write to the glory of God? And so whatever lies ahead, whatever road our grateful hearts will come to tread, you'll be there, Lord. Always closer than we know. Always more involved and in control. The God of our yesterdays, God who is here today, we praise you, our God, as tomorrow comes. So let's be a church and a people who sing in worship and ascribe greatness to God. In this day of celebration, let us proclaim again and again the greatness of God who has led us this far by His grace. Let us exalt His name together. Let us extol His goodness. Let us rejoice and be glad in Him, for He is worthy of all praise. He is great above all. There is none who is like Him. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. Shall we read this together? I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect and all His ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is He. Amen. 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 Gaylene was going to lead us in prayer.